I was guilty and so weary beneath the load of shame. But the very Son of God took my place in agony. Now all I want to do is thank Him at the foot of Calvary.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You haven't gathered here just because you have a cool preacher, and you do. You're not here just to check out what other people are wearing, and y'all look good today. Happy Mother's Day. You're here to gather around the Word of God and see what He has said to us, and we're to follow Him in obedience. We're only happy to be in any part a servant of God and launched into His ministry, and Heritage Baptist Church was one of the first churches to support our family ministry. So I say from our family, from the bottom of our heart, thank you. We are the Andrew Johnson family, and we're called that because my name is Andrew Johnson. And I've been married to my wife now for 18 years. It'll be 19 this summer. And the Lord seemed fit to give us 4 children. Let me introduce them. Their names are in alphabetical order, if not for your benefit, certainly for mine. All right, here's Elena. She believes curly hair is a personality trait. She has just finished ninth grade, now a sophomore. We're super excited for you. She's 15 years old. Her sister is Hannah, the palindrome version. Say it backwards or forwards, it's still Hannah. She's finished eighth grade, into ninth grade, high schooler now. And she is 13 years old. And right over here is Junebug Johnson. She's 10 years old, finishing fifth grade. And then right here is my man, Mitchell. Oh, yeah, she has finished fifth grade. Congratulations. And then we are homeschooler. We are homeschoolers. We have turned our RV into a one-room schoolhouse. Thank you, Rachel. God bless you. Then here's Mitchell. He's 8 years old, and he would like to challenge you to a race after the service. I believe he believes he's really fast. He's finishing third grade, and we're happy to do anything for the Lord. I want to say this. You don't get to pick what generation you're born into. Right. Do you believe that? God's in charge of all of that. But do you believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation today, just like it was way back when? Amen. Oh, yes. Do you believe that you can raise a godly family here in 2024? Amen. Yes, it can happen. We have the same God who hasn't left his throne. We have the same Bible that we're reading, and we're following the same Savior with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can do what God has commanded us to do. There's a generation that doesn't know who they are. Because they don't know whose they are. We're created as image bearers. We are his by creation. But we're doubly his when we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, received the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Your sin is worse than you thought it was, but Jesus is better than you could ever believe him to be. And when you receive him, Christ's righteousness is exchanged for your sin, and you are become a child of God. So you can know who you are. Your identity isn't in what you think or feel. Your identity is in the rock-solid Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where our identity needs to be, and that's where our identity needs to be for this generation. And there's a song that I'm going to have my children sing that help us to understand who we are in Christ. In Christ, we find our identity, and I'm going to have my children sing this song. So help us with this, if you will, all right?
Masterpiece.
come and make what you will of me. There is nothing broken that you cannot repair. So Lord, I leave my life in your loving care.
I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own.
It's our generation that needs to understand that the Lord is in control, and he's created us, and he's created us for a purpose. I'll say it to you. He's created you for a purpose, and that purpose is to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved, forgiven of your sins, and he wants you to be sanctified, set apart for his use, and he wants you to be spirit-filled. He wants you to be separated from this world, and he wants you to have the power that he's died for you to have. Do you believe that the Word of God today is sufficient for us?
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can already turn right before our last song to Joshua chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I want to say what a privilege it is to be here. It was June 6th of 2021 that we were here last, and then that next week I was in the hospital for four days for the first time in my adult life with COVID. And it spread all the way through Heritage Baptist Church. It was my gift to you. And we're glad to be back, and the Lord raised us up, and the Lord has given us strength. And I've got a little thank you note for all of that, and I'd like to give these to Pastor as well. It's our prayer card. Do take this updated prayer card. Follow along with our family. We're high-tech redneck. All of our music is available on streaming. And we do have two albums on CDs. Remember these? We have CDs right back here, the $20 each. This is our first family one. We had this the last time you were here. If you haven't gotten it, you're going to want these 12 songs in your life that will stir your affection for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your heart needs to be reminded of who Jesus is for you. And music can help you to do that. What is music? But to muse, to think on. Music can help you think on the right things. Here's our newest album that we didn't have the last time we were here. It's called Jesus, Lord of All. 13 songs, including a song that Hannah wrote. You'll love it. Track 5. You don't want to miss that. Do get these directly after the service. We can take credit cards and Venmo and Zelle and Firstborn and whatever you want to use as far as payment. So what I'm going to do, Pastor, here you go. These are yours. God bless you. Thank you so much for having us. We're glad to be here doing anything for the Lord. Right before the message, we understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and everything that God has made us to be, we see the Word of God is sufficient for.
Lift a hand.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 2. When Pastor Crawford asked me to speak on Mother's Day, I thought, I know what I'm going to preach. I'm going to talk about Rahab the harlot. Okay, let's look at Joshua chapter 2. Look with me at verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. This is very interesting. Rahab, her story is fascinating. And we see the last sentence of verse 1, and they went out and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. The Bible introduces one of the most unexpected heroes of Scripture, and these spies, if you want to study spy work, if you were to go to the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., you could see Caleb and Joshua, but you'd also see a display about this occurrence right here. These spies were spying out the land of Jericho. And whose house did they go to? They went to an harlot's house. Is she a hero or a harlot? What does the Bible have to say? She's a sinner, perhaps. She is identified, known, famous for her sin. A convert, maybe, but a hero? Maybe Rahab the Rehab, if you will. Twice in the New Testament, she's held up as a woman of faith. One time is Hebrews chapter 11, which is the text we know as the Hall of Faith. And here's what it says about her testimony in verse 31 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Think about that for a moment. Rahab lived with those that believed not. She worked with those that believed not. She was educated with those that believed not. And she grew up with those that believed not. And with all that baggage, how in the world could she have shone like the bright light she is in Joshua chapter 2? The Bible says, she perished not with them that believed not. Consider this. I want us to consider this truth, or what I would call today a cord of truth, all the way through this story about a liar who is very famous for not only her reputation, but also for her lying. How can we find truth in a lie today? I want us to think about this truth about God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Why is it that this Canaanite woman named Rahab, how is it that she experienced this grace, the mercy and goodness of God to the degree that she should be known in the eternal word of God as a woman of faith? There are heroes and there are certainly sheroes, and she is certainly a heroine. In addition to her vocation as a sinner, she is known as a good liar. And in the first century, almost all of the devout Jews, including the Sanhedrin, sought to rehabilitate the harlot reputation by attaching an innkeeper label to her name. Why? Because ultimately she would be known as the great-great-grandmother of King David, Israel's greatest ruler. Was she an innkeeper? Yes, in a way. But that inn was undoubtedly a brothel. If the Sanhedrin was embarrassed by that reputation, the Holy Spirit was not. Right. Amen. Do you realize that 8 times in Scripture the name Rahab is mentioned, and 6 times out of those 8 times she's mentioned as Rahab the harlot? She's known by her sin. And by the way, all of us are known by our sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Your sin is worse than you thought it was, but Jesus is better than you could ever believe him to be. It has been said that the devil knows us by our name, but calls us by our sin. But Jesus knows us by our sin, but calls us by our name. Even a child is known by his doings. I didn't have to teach my children to sin. They got that naturally from me. They were born into sin, and they chose to commit sin. And could I let you know that your sins will find you out? You cannot cover up your sin, especially before a holy God. So why in the world would somebody identified by their sin be known as a hero in the hall of faith today? Throughout Scripture and throughout the life of Rahab, there is a cord of truth about God we must understand today. So big number one. Number one, we see the mercy of God, the truth of the mercy of God. Look with me at verse 1 one more time. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. We notice what it's like to live in the city of Jericho. And really, this is a house of ill repute for more than one reason. This is not just a house of ill repute. This is a city of ill repute. God is coming to Jericho through the children of Israel to judge Jericho. And why does he judge Jericho? Because Jericho is an idolatrous and sinful and murderous city. They were among the most wicked people of all of the history of civilization. They were cruel, idolatrous, demon-worshipping people, and they practiced child sacrifice. Could I say it this way? No nation, no culture will ever receive the blessing of God when they practice child sacrifice. And their worship of themselves or Baal or Ashtaroth encouraged violent perversion. If you were to look at the historical records, the Rosh Shamrock tablets, archaeologists learned that the people of Jericho offered no mercy in their judicial actions, even against their own people. They tortured them. They murdered them. If you were to commit a crime, you had no hope in Jericho. Anybody born, talk about darkness, anybody born and raised in Jericho, there was little hope of becoming anything other than a harlot, an idolater, a demon worshiper, or a murderer. From their priest to their politicians to all of their people, they were infamous about their ability to steal and lie to one another. Where did she learn to lie? She learned it growing up in Jericho, and no doubt she learned it in lying and covering up for her clients. As a matter of fact, even today, there are some cultures and certain tribes in the far, far east that it is a virtue to be able to pull the wool over people's eyes. Say just enough so that you can convince people of something that isn't true. They looked at it as a virtue to get away with lying or not paying your debts or scamming people. I got a phone call this week, and it said, scam likely. I picked it up to be taken off the list. Is this Mr. Andrew Johnson? It is. Well, your car's warranty has expired. Oh, are you selling your home? Mr. Johnson, this is the IRS. Click. That's scam. That's a scam likely. They're trying to lie to get my resources. There are certain people that are still doing that today. Nobody in this town was of good character. So it is that when the Hebrew spies, the Bible says, when they came to this hostile city, by divine guidance, it led them to a very unlikely spot, in a spot of light in this dark city. A glimmer of light in the house of a harlot. She deceived four of her guests. This was no doubt a regular occurrence for the people that she'd hidden throughout the years. Maybe she had a hidey hole for those Johns that were committing adultery. How is that a glimmer of light? That's what reveals the great truth, the cord of truth that goes all the way throughout Scripture, and it's true, it shines true today. God is merciful. You don't get what you deserve. Rahab lied. Have you lied? Has God been merciful to you? When God's mercy ran out at 11:59 and 59 seconds last night, as soon as it turned 12 midnight, you got a new heaping helping of God's mercy, because his mercies are new every morning. God has been so merciful to you. In fact, that is his heart. Does God judge sin? Oh, yes. But you know what his heart is to you? It's loving kindness. It's tenderness. It's mercy to you. And you ought to be thankful for that. Amen. He is a merciful God, all-powerful, and he will judge sin. But he's the gentle shepherd right now inviting you into his flock. You need to receive him joyfully. You do not want to face the Lord as judge. You do want to face him as the gentle shepherd. He's come to you. He's left heaven's throne to be merciful to you. You must receive him. Can I tell you something else that's true? Rahab did lie, but she also appeared in Matthew chapter 1, another great list of some fantastic folks. Do you know what that list is? It's the genealogy of Jesus. The very first words of the New Testament include a list of gentlemen, of fathers, to father, to father, to father, but they include a list of four women. And in that list of four women, Rahab's name appears in the very first chapter of the New Testament Bible. It says this: Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. And then it goes on to say that Nahshon begat Salmon. And then verse 5 says this: and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. The genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ is a listing of all men except for these four women listed by name, and Rahab is one of those four. And God saw to it that Rahab would become an ancestress, a great, great grandmother of David, but not only that. She's related to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 is an illustrious list of names, and Rahab is only one of two women allowed on that list. If this were an awards banquet, here it is, the end of the year. There's graduations and banquets that we're all required to attend, and we pass out trophies. Or imagine this is an awards banquet, and the one who got the award right before Rahab was Moses, the lawgiver. And Moses would have stayed in place with his trophy, and then he would have introduced the next award winner, and the next award winner would have been Rahab. Yeah. This is amazing. Yeah. I think this is fascinating. A Canaanite, a harlot, an idolater. The house of a harlot becomes a house of prayer. So what in the world is God trying to show us? His great mercy. Does God excuse sin? Not once, not ever. Does God ignore sin? Oh, no. Does God hate sin always and forever? How is it that he looked upon a city of Jericho that he was about to judge? The wall was about to come a tumbling down, destined for destruction. But he had a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, because he saw something that even spies couldn't see. The point is, God is not ashamed to reach way down and pull sinners up to his grace. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. Same with you. We sing that famous Norwegian hymn, "Wonderful Grace of Jesus, reaching the most reviled, by its transforming power, making them God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me." The story gives us a little bit of a glimpse of the heart of God, and that heart is a merciful heart. It's a heart of grace. It's a heart of compassion. The longer I live and the more I go into ministry and serving the gospel to people, the more I realize that everybody's got a past. Everybody's got problems. And this isn't an oppression or a past Olympics here. Well, my past is worse than you. But listen, if you even grew up in church hearing the gospel regularly, God's grace is sufficient for you too.
For those of you who have a past and are marked and scarred by your past and are still feeling the consequences today, know that God has mercy for you. And God doesn't see your sin anymore. He forgets and forgives your sin for all of eternity. That's how merciful He is. So we see big number two, not only the truth of God's mercy, big number two is the truth of God's mind. What's God thinking about today? His ways are past finding out. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What is God thinking right now for you? What's God thinking for Rahab? As much as He's a merciful God, it doesn't change His nature. What is His nature? All of His attributes come out of His holiness. He is thrice holy. He is holy, holy, holy. He's different, higher, better, other than all of us. We can't reach up to Him. But what is His mind toward us? He is not a respecter of persons, but He is a rewarder of faith. And Rahab had, let's call it, enough faith. I can't determine what kind of faith she had. I don't know if it was big faith, if it was mountain-moving faith. I don't know if it was mustard seed faith, but I know, because God tells us, it was enough faith. Rahab had faith. Look at verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came in men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the men and hid them, and said thus, There came in men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, that when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, ye shall overtake them." Is that the truth? It's a lie. Why in the world would Rahab risk her life for total strangers? Why would she be letting spies spy it on her nation, on her city? What was she thinking? Was she trying to be unpatriotic that day? Was it Be Kind to Jews Day? Was it Adopt an Enemy Day? By doing what she did, she was demonstrating her faith in an almighty God. Look at verse 9, please. And she said unto the man, "I know." Whoa, stop right there. What did she know? She knew something, and that's how she acted. She acted on the truth that she knew. In fact, every time the Bible is open, truth demands a verdict. You cannot leave the same. You will either stay believing a lie, or you will obey and reconcile yourself to the truth. And what does she know? Verse 9, and she said unto the man, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Rahab says, "I know something. I know that this conquest is as good as over. We're toast." And then she uses a word that would have perked up their ears. She uses the children of Israel's word for Jehovah. She uses Lord, and it's all capitals. She uses the word Jehovah. And then another word, she says, "God has delivered us into your hands." And then she gives them priceless information, exactly what the spies were looking for, by telling them the morale of the people themselves. She says, "Everybody's afraid. Everybody is weak." What led to Rahab's confession that Israel's God must be Lord? Why is she willing to risk her life and the life of her families for these two strangers? How did she come to the conclusion that she knew something? Well, verse 10 tells us, "For we have heard," circle it, highlight it, underline it, "we have heard. Heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, when ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." What did she hear? She heard that the Lord was in control and that He was powerful. This wasn't a shallow point of the Red Sea that the children of Israel were crossing, and sometimes the wind blows enough where you can walk across it on dry land. Oh no, this was in a deep part of the Dead Sea, and they were able to walk across, And I don't think Egyptian soldiers drowned in ankle-deep water. I don't think they do. We heard what happened. We know that your God is God. Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, here's this valuable piece of intelligence, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, there it is again, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Wow. Rahab, all she did was hear about the miracles of God in faraway Egypt about 40 years before. The Israelites had experienced these miracles. And really, these two spies believed it, and God had given them the land before. Furthermore, Rahab didn't believe in Israel's conquest because of the army size or because they were swift or skillful. Rahab did not fear Joshua. She feared Jehovah. Romans 10, verse 17 says it this way. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So when Rahab heard, she had more faith than even some of the Jews themselves. She believed God will do exactly what he says he will do. I wonder if you will believe God and take him at his word. Rahab trusted based on the truth that she'd heard, not even because of her own personal experience. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Think of this. Think of how this sounds. She hears, she believes, and asks God for favor and pardon. Sounds a whole lot like the gospel. It's precisely because of his great mercy that he welcomes even the weakest and smallest of faith. Even little faith is of great value to God. How much faith did Rahab have that night? Because of God's mind, God's redemption is enough for her. She simply believed the witness of God. Now, she saw a great and mighty miracle. And even before then, she had heard about the truth of God. How much more evidence do you need? We have the completed canon of Scripture. Amen. The Word of God has come to you. What are you waiting on? Do you need to see another miracle, or can you see the miracle of a changed life? The people that are gathered here alongside you as you're celebrating your mother today, that's a miracle of a changed life, and God has done It. I'll say it this way, if you can see any bad in me, I could most likely take the credit for that. If there's anything bad that's happened to me, there's good news on both of those accounts. They're all earthbound. It's all going to burn up. And if there's any good in me that you've observed, Christ has done it all. He gets all the glory for it, and it's going to last forever and forever and forever. That's what the Lord did for Rahab. Verse 11 states that her heart was melting and her courage was gone. She didn't know what was going to happen. And in verse 9, she confesses the terror that has fallen upon the inhabitants of the land. Don't trust in psychology or philosophy or your past or your history or your family in times of distress. Don't trust in a horoscope. Don't trust in your president. Don't trust in a governor. Grab a hold of the promises of God in that time. Place your trembling heart in the mighty hand of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're placed in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ. Those nail-pierced hands are enveloped by the almighty hands of God and then sealed by the Holy Spirit. Could I tell you tonight, God's grip don't slip. Give God your faith and let him hold on to you. We see, number one, the truth of God's mercy. Number two, the truth of God's mind. And we'll finish with this, the truth of God's miracles. Look with me in Joshua 2, verse 12 now. Verse 12. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Verse 13. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren. and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Now look at verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now verse 21. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Scarlet line in the window. That's a theme that's used all the way through the Old Testament. It's intriguing. Death would not come to this house if the scarlet line was in the window. It is no doubt a reminder of what happened in Exodus when the blood was on the doorposts of those homes. Everyone inside the home was saved. She remembered and knew about that story. So follow this progression. She hears of the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea and how God delivered the Israelites from Egypt. And she hears of the victory that God gave the Israelites over the Amorites. And each of those signs and wonders were designed to give God witness, to give light, just like the book that we're reading right now. She realized that those two spies were representatives of God, Jehovah. And when she saw those children of Israel marching around every single day, she was trusting. Oh, she was trusting in that thread of scarlet that was hanging outside of her window. She wasn't trusting in an army. She wasn't trusting in the strength of the wall. She was trusting in that scarlet thread. Amen. What are you trusting on? A prayer you've prayed? A church you grew up in? A church membership or a role that you're on? Or are you trusting in Jesus Christ tonight? The object of your faith this morning is Jesus Christ. Brother Johnson, do you believe that after we die, you're going to face a holy God? Oh, yes. Amen. Absolutely. But you're going to face a holy God with the thread of scarlet, and that's Jesus Christ, if you're holding on to this. Would you fast forward to the end of the story? We knew that the walls fell after those 7 days. Look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 21. What happened? And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, an ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Now verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel unto this day, because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So hear me carefully. Not only did she find salvation that day, but all of her household did. I don't know if you're making Thanksgiving plans right now, but I don't know if you're hosting Thanksgiving, but I know that it's a big thing to host a lot of people into your house, and plans have to start early. When Rahab got word from those spies that the scarlet thread would be the only salvation that that household would have, she had to do the great work of convincing her father and her mother and her brethren to all come into that room, into that harlot's house. It went from the house of shame to the hall of fame. And Rahab would become then the great-grandmother of King David, an ancestor of the Son of God himself. And the greatest miracle that I can show you is not the salvation of Rahab's house, it's the salvation of Rahab. The greatest miracle that you can point to in your life was not some providential amount of money, not some investment that came due, not some sort of oil well that you find in your backyard. The greatest miracle that you can point to in your life is the miracle of a changed life that comes only by Jesus Christ. There are three sources of light that we have on this planet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he points to you and says, ye are the light of the world. What do we point? Do we point to the circumstances or the trappings of Christianity, or do we point to Christ himself? We are the light of the world. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Fathers, shine your light brightly so that your children can receive Christ. Mothers, follow Christ graciously so that your children have an opportunity to put their faith in Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Rahab's house within the wall that was coming down, that may have given other people fear, but not Rahab. She was trusting in the miracle of that cord of scarlet. We read that she convinced her family to stay at her house. Rahab would see this miracle. All things would become new. One fellow was asked by one man, why are you so depressed and dejected? He said, it's because of my future. And why are you so depressed about your future? It's because of my past. All of us do have a past. There's none righteous, no, not one. But you can leave your past in the hands of Jesus Christ. Can we learn from Rahab's faith? Why do we tremble when there's a pandemic, when there's wars and rumors of wars, when there's a financial upturn, when it's an election year again? Why do we tremble? Why don't we put our faith in the same God of Rahab? Let's serve this great God. She's mentioned in the genealogy of Matthew. It's because, in verse 5 it said, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Not only was Rahab and her family spared, the Bible says that she went into the camp of Israel. She's outside the camp, but she gets to go into the camp. And she doesn't marry just anybody. The Bible says that she marries Salmon, or Salmon, whatever you want to call him. Who is he? He's the captain of the tribe of Judah. He's the captain of the football team. Salmon could have married anybody. He would go into battle with the great lion seal on his chest. Everybody knew who Salmon was. It's believed to be that Salmon was one of the two spies that Rahab put out. He saw her faith. And the story of redemption doesn't stop at her salvation. She marries Boaz. She marries Salmon and begets Boaz. And who is her son? The kinsman redeemer. Gives birth to the kinsman redeemer that would lead to the redeemer himself. When you choose to live by faith, moms, faith begets faith. Your children will see your faith and want to follow the Savior who you want to follow. From grandchildren to great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. Is it good to follow the Lord?
Amen.
Is your faith being lived out in your home? Well, then that's going to pass on from generation to generation to generation. They have an opportunity to receive Christ by faith. We have a great God. Why not serve him? Why not believe him? Why not follow him all the days of our life? Let's do this. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And while you're there, I wonder, here on Mother's Day, if you've seen this truth exercise in your life. Could I ask you this? Is there somebody who could say, Brother Johnson, God has been merciful to me? Is there anybody like that? Anybody in this room who wouldn't mind raising their hands to say, God has been merciful to me? I see a lot of hands. It's because he's been merciful to all of us. You with your hands raised, I want to pray for you because God has been merciful to me too. But if God has shown you mercy, why don't you find a place at this altar right now? I'm going to ask you that raise your hand. If God has been merciful to you, does he want to show mercy to your family? Does he want to show mercy to your coworkers, your friends, and your family members that need to hear the gospel one more time? Is there a name or a face that pops to mind of somebody that needs to hear the gospel? If God has been merciful to you and you've raised your hand acknowledging it, you have something to pray for today. You can pray for the ones that need God's mercy and need God's salvation. Why don't you be the first ones to leave your seat right now, find a place at this altar, and pray for that opportunity? How many of you would say, I know for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven? If that's you, raise your hand, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking across. You can put your hands down. If you weren't able to lift your hand, you're in the right place to hear about the mercy of God. If you weren't able to raise your hand, you say, I'm not saved or I'm not sure. Our goal isn't to embarrass you at all. In fact, we want to admonish you by the truth of God's word. The people around who have raised their hand, who have been saved, want you to be saved. In fact, God, even more than us, wants you to be saved. If you're not saved, but you say, I'm not saved or I'm not sure, why don't you do this? Why don't you just connect eyes with me? Just look up right here. I'll look at you. If you're not saved or you're not sure, everybody else's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not going to call you out today. If you're not saved or you're not sure, look at me in the eyes. Okay? Anybody else? You know what God has spoken to you today. Here's the truth. We're all sinners. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. So you need to fall on the mercy of Christ. And here's the good news. He loves you. He's died for you, and he proved it on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross, but he didn't stay that way. He was buried, but he rose again 3 days later, showing that God's work for your sin was good enough. We're not good enough, but Christ is good enough. You need what he's done on the cross. You need to call on him. You need to believe in your heart. Do you believe in your heart that God was buried, he rose again 3 days later, and he did that for you? Do you believe that in your heart? And here's what you need to do with your mouth. You need to call on him. Pray a prayer like this, not to me, but to the God who knows your heart. You can convince other people, but only God knows you and only you know you. So why don't you pray like this, right here, words like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to save myself. Right now, I confess my sin. I repent of what I've believed before. Right now, I put my faith in Jesus Christ the best way I know how. Lord, save me and forgive me of all my sin. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, nobody's looking around. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time in sincerity, we want to rejoice with you. If you did that, would you raise your hand for the very first time? I see one hand. Anybody else? That's two hands. Anybody else? You prayed that prayer for the very first time in sincerity. You don't mind me knowing it. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Catch my attention. I see a third hand over here. Anybody else? Raise it good and high so I can see it. Okay, you can put your hands down. You made the best decision you've ever made in your whole entire life. Your eternity is secure. He's got you from now to the end. After you die, it's not the end. You're going to live somewhere forever. And if you've received Jesus Christ, that somewhere is in the presence of Jesus Christ, a place called heaven, a real place that he's preparing for you. That's how merciful he is. And he's shown mercy to you today. We're rejoicing over these three decisions. If there's anybody else that needs to make that decision or has made it, would you find me, find this good pastor, and tell this decision to him? We want to rejoice to you. We want to rejoice together. Hey, Christian, we have a Savior worth speaking up for. And if we can hear and know what the Word of God has said, then we have enough. We have enough light to take it to a dark world. Can you explain how merciful God is? Can you explain what Jesus did on the cross? Then you have enough to tell somebody else and convince your family and convince your coworkers that Jesus is the only way. Hey, I'm going to pray in just a moment. At some point, I'd like to ask you to find the pastor at the end of the service and let him know what decision you've made today. We want to rejoice with you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we've spent around your word and the mother that you made Rahab to be, a godly mom. Lord, we can look back and look at our inadequacies and our failures and our iniquities and our sin. But Lord, all of that sin is covered by the blood that was shed on the cross. We're thankful for this cord of truth about who you are all the way through Scripture. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for us today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Of one verse of one hymn of invitation, if the Lord's spoken to you, you come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
If you raised your hand and God's been merciful to you, that means he's merciful to other people. Why don't you pray for somebody else? Leave your seat. Find a place right here. Mother, say, take your mom. Pray for her. Thank the Lord for
him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all.
If you want to put your influence into this church, this is a great day to join. Mother's Day 2024.
Hold to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Hold to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me
down. We just had two
down.
More receive from Jesus Christ.
I surrender.
Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. When should you do what God wants you to do? Not tomorrow. Not in the future. Not sometime soon. But today. When did Rahab follow? She followed as soon as she heard.
Savior, I surrender all. Hold to Jesus, I surrender.
Come on down. We want to rejoice with you.
Would
you have enough courage to leave your seat?
Thine.
Enough courage that Rahab had? Leave your seat. We want to rejoice with you if you made that decision.
Holy Spirit, truly know
that thou art mine. If you need to take the next step of faith, then you have received Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Time to get baptized. This is a Baptist church. We believe that anybody who gets baptized must be baptized after they receive Jesus Christ. If you need to get baptized, join this good church. Leave your seat. Make that decision today.
Hold to Jesus,
one more verse,
I surrender.
You need to make a decision?
Lord,
make it now.
I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me.
It's awesome to see some come this morning. I surrender all. If the Lord's touched your heart, you come this morning. Several accepting Christ this morning. Amen. It's great. Let's be patient this morning. All right. Please be seated. Appreciate your patience this morning. And we'll go ahead and I'm going to give some announcements as the ushers get ready to take up the offering. Still going to do it. Remind you a couple of things. Tonight we have the West Coast Baptist College with us. I look forward to that group singing to us tonight. No choir practice tonight, just tonight's service at 6 o'clock. Hope you come and be a part of that. You can read the bulletin for the rest. It's called a bulletin. We pass it out for a reason. Just read that. Outreach this week, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. All right, ushers, if you come forward, we'll take up the offering this morning. Our missionaries of the week are Brother Joel Haynes and from the Davao Nation and Brother Chris Hunter to the Philippines. And remember both of these in prayer, if you would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you and thank you for the wonderful morning, for the preaching, for the souls that have been saved this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this offering. Use it to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm trying to get another thing done that's really important this morning before we leave, and it's good to have Tessa, it's good to have Chad and Cindy come and bring Tessa to the Lord, to dedicate her. And we're so thankful for this family and for what God's done with them, for the other two girls, and for them dedicating them. Psalm 127 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." And truly, children are a gift from God. And so this is a family who's saying they're going to dedicate this child to the Lord, to raise them in a godly home, to give them a spiritual home, a home that will be directed to teach them about Jesus, a home that will teach them and be an example to learn, to pray, to obey, to read and love the Bible, to fellowship with the Lord, so that one day she can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as a church, we team with them. Every Sunday school teacher, every master club worker, every children's choir worker, we team with them in that responsibility of reinforcing what they are taught at home and helping and being an example to them. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Chad and Cindy and for them bringing little Tessa this morning to dedicate to you. I pray, God, that you'd bless them as they raise her. God, just give them wisdom and strength, and Lord, just direct them. We pray for Tessa, Lord, that she would, as she grows, come to the saving knowledge of you. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I would encourage you to come by, give Chad and Cindy a right hand of fellowship as a part of our church family. It's good to have several come this morning accepting Christ as their Savior. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Hope you come back tonight, 6 o'clock. God is so good. God has been so good. Happy Mother's Day. And we have a gift for you as you leave this morning, mothers. And the ushers will have those for you. You can take those. And then no choir practice. Again, looking forward to tonight. Don't forget to stop by the Johnson's table and pick up some good music and talk with them. And also, if you filled out that connection card, Brother Stone is back in the back. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to exchange that connection card that's inside your packet for a gift. And then lastly, but not leastly, thank the Lord for the new screens in the hall. And God's supplied and God's good. And I appreciate the staff and many who worked hard over the several months here to make this happen. And man, they're beautiful. All right. All right, Brother Ratledge is in town, all the way from the big state of Kansas. And we miss him. And we're so glad he's here this morning. He'll come and dismiss us in prayer until he gets right and moves back.
Despite what Pastor says, we are actually surviving north of the Red River. So anyway, good to be with you all. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for our mothers and the gift that you have given them and to us as they nurture their families and husbands. We pray that you'll be with the Andrew Johnson family as they continue on with their ministry. What a blessing. Pray that you'll be with baby Tessa and Chad and Cindy and Parker and Hayden. What a special family they are to us. We pray that you'll continue to just bless them as they raise their girls. We pray that you'll be with us as we go on about our ways. We ask these things in your name. Amen.